This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on April 16, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll be just a minute until Commissioner McGinn gets here. Oh, I see. He's made it. Good morning, everyone. This is the open session of the Federal Election Commission for April 16, 2009. And without come to order. First item on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes for Thursday, March 19, 2009. Mr. Vice Chairman, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move approval of the minutes for the open meeting on Thursday, March 19, 2009, as set forth in agenda document number 09-16.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Motion carries 6-0. The first item on the agenda is AO 2009-02, True Patriot Network. Council, are you ready to proceed?
Good morning, Mr. Good morning. Chairman, commissioners. Agenda document 0917 responds to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of the True Patriot Network. The True Patriot Network, or TPN, is a limited liability company that was formed in the state of Washington. TPN was organized as an LLC in 2009 to protect its creator, Nicholas Hanauer, from personal liability. TPN's purpose is to promote and advance the principles espoused in a book that was co-authored by Mr. Hanauer. Other facts relevant to TPN's request are as follows. Mr. Hanauer is TPN's only member and manager. He has the sole and exclusive right to manage TPN's affairs. He provided the only capital contribution to TPN, and any additional capital contributions to TPN will come exclusively from Mr. Hanauer's personal funds. TPN does not accept any donations, and it is not elected to be taxed as a corporation and is a disregarded entity for federal income tax purposes. TPN asks if it can fund independent expenditures that urge support for specific federal candidates and office holders via TPN's website, mailings, newspapers, and television, subject to the limitations and disclosure requirements that apply to individuals. The draft concludes that TPN may make the independent expenditures subject to the limitations and disclosure requirements that apply to individuals. The Commission did not receive comments on the request or on this draft, and I'm happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, Council. Any comments, suggestions? Hearing none, do we have a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman?
Yes, I would move approval of Advisory Opinion 2009-02 as set forth in Agenda Document Number 09-17.
Well, thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. The motion passes 5-0. And I guess for the record, Madam Secretary, you have already recorded the fact that Commissioner Weintraub is not here, I assume. We had one other matter that was pending the advisory opinion 2009-03 for Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., and that will be taken up and considered next Tuesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at a continuation of this open session. So hearing no further matter to come before the agenda, we'll be in recess until Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Good morning, everyone. This is a continuation of the April 16th, 2009 open session. Will now come to order, and the next item on the agenda is agenda item 0918, the advisory opinion draft and for Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. Would you proceed, Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., or ICE, a Delaware corporation, requested the advisory opinion before you in agenda document number 09-18. Desiring to encourage contributions to its separate segregated fund from members of its restricted class, ICE asks whether it may match contributions to its SSF with donations to a 501c3 charitable organization of up to twice the amount contributed. While the contributor may choose the organization that will receive the donation, the contributor would not be paid for the corporation for the contribution, nor would the contributor receive any financial, tax, or other tangible benefit as a result of ICE's charitable donation. Based on ICE's representations, the draft concludes that ICE may implement its proposal. This is because the donations to charity contemplated by the proposal are payments ICE may make from its general treasury funds for the purpose of soliciting contributions to its SSF. The draft concludes that ICE's proposal is not a means of exchanging treasury funds for contributions, a practice prohibited by commission regulations. We received one ex parte communication from the requester on the draft. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Council. Any comments? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm prepared to support the Council's draft with respect to the request by ICE. Over the last almost 25 years, and I believe six different advisory opinions, the Commission has consistently upheld the use of these charitable matching contribution programs, provided that no financial tax or other tangible benefit accrues to the contributor. And the Commission's stance has been buttressed by the IRS, which has also consistently determined that, quote, a charity PAC matching program grant to an IRC 501c3 organization should not be recharacterized as payment of compensation to the employee, and a subsequent payment by the employee to the IRC 501c3 organization, end quote. Since the proposed matching program that's been devised by ICE, this 2-to-1 matching program, like its 1-to-1 matching program, since it doesn't involve any financial tax tangible benefit being given to the contributor, I believe that under the principles that have been articulated in those six advisory opinions that the Commission has previously issued, I believe under those principles that this program also would be permissible, and for that reason I'm prepared to support the draft.
Okay, thank you. Further comment? Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is it a public meeting if nobody from the public, not even Ken Doyle, showed up for this? Boy, this is just not a very interesting AO, I guess. I unfortunately cannot support the draft. We do have a long tradition of allowing these charitable matches, but this is the first time that we've ever been asked about more than a one-to-one match. And I think that really does change the calculation for me. The Commission has allowed corporations to offer various incentives to encourage contributions to its PAC. In the past, we've allowed raffle programs as long as the prize was not more than a third of the value of whatever the political take turned out to be at the end. And if it turns out to be more valuable than that, then the PAC has to reimburse the corporation for the excess value of the prize. So the Commission has recognized in other contexts that there's a limit on how much of an incentive a corporation can offer. And of course, you know, the bottom line is the corporation can't reimburse in any way the contributions. And I'm not suggesting that this is a reimbursement, but I do think it begins to skew the incentives when the value of the incentive that the corporation is offering is more than the value of the donation itself. We tend to live in our little political bubbles here where we think, you know, politics is really, really important, but for a lot of people out there, charities are a lot more important than politics. And I know a lot of people, even within the Beltway or within the Beltway community, who just don't even like to talk about politics and would never make a political donation. But a lot of these people care a lot about their charities. People care about their schools, they care about their churches, and obviously a lot of people care about medical research charities. If you or someone you love is afflicted with some disease and there's a charity out there that's raising funds to find a cure, you're going to be very motivated to do what you can to help raise funds for that charity. And we see this all the time with Race for the Cure and Bike for the Cure and walkathons, and people are willing to go to fairly extensive efforts to raise money, harangue all their friends and relatives, because they care a lot about their charities. And I think that a rational economic actor who cared a lot about their charity and didn't care a whole lot about politics might say, hey, if I can get a 2-for-1 match out of this, if I can, oh, I feel so much better now. At least Ken showed up. It's not a public meeting without you, Ken. I think that a rational person might say, well, you know, I don't care that much about the PAC, but I care a lot about my charity. And if I can double the contribution to charity, if I can give $2,000 to the PAC and get a $4,000 to the donation to the charity from my corporation, then it's worth it to me, even if I don't care about the PAC, even if I don't support the candidates that the PAC supports, and possibly even if I don't even like the candidates that the PAC supports, it might be worth it to me in order to get that extra donation to my charity. And I don't think those kinds of incentives are in place when you have a straight one-for-one. Because if you just want to make a $2,000 contribution to charity, you can just cut a check to the charity. And it's the fact that the corporation would make more of a donation to the charity than the donation to the PAC that I think puts this really in a different circumstance and would be an extension of something that we've really never authorized before. And another concern that I have about the rationale is that there doesn't seem to be any limit to it. So, you know, this corporation asks about a 2-for-1 match, but the same rationale, I think, would apply to justify a 5-for-1 match or a 10-for-1 match. And I think there conceivably could be people out there who are very wealthy businessmen who are happy to give a lot of money to charity and also care a lot about their politics, and we can think of people who fall into that category on both sides of the aisle who might be willing to offer a really good, a 5-for-1 match on a charity contribution versus a political donation in order to maximize political donations to their favorite candidates. So I think this really is different from what we've approved in the past, and for that reason, I can't support the draft. And we had played around with trying to come up with an alternative draft, but honestly, we couldn't come up with anything that we thought would get 4 votes. So I don't have an alternative to propose, but I'm going to vote no on this one.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Any further comment? Please decide. Mr. Bowerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will also be unable to support this draft, and I do think that the Commission has a long history of approving one-for-one matches, but for many of the reasons that Commissioner Weintraub stated, I think that anything beyond a one-for-one match changes the nature and the incentives involved in the program. And while I appreciate the requester's comment, the note about the IRS guidance, as I read it, the IRS has based its conclusions about the tax consequences on our previous opinions, which have been limited to one-to-one programs. They even state that a contribution equal to the sum of the contribution that the employee made is what they're dealing with in that guidance. So, unfortunately, I don't think that provides us with any basis on which to approve a greater than a one-to-one match. And as I said, I believe that extending beyond a one-to-one program distorts the voluntary nature of these contributions. And so I will not be able to support the draft. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further comment? No further comment. I do have my own comment, and I would just share completely the comments with Commissioner Weintraub and Commissioner Bowerly. I feel that as we move into anything more than a one-to-one match, it starts to undercut the voluntary nature of the policy on which the exception is allowed. And in a case like this, I don't know where we would draw the limit if we begin to go to 2-for-1, then 3-for-1, and then when do we, in our own personal discretion, find out, try and use our own judgment as to when the inducement becomes so great that it's completely eviscerated the voluntary nature of it, and it just becomes a desire to really help charities rather than to participate in a PAC. So I also will be able to support the draft. Would anybody like to make a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
I just want to make just a further comment. It seems like we've already gone beyond just a one-to-one match in other cases. In the Anheuser-Busch 2003 advisory opinion, we said not only can you get a one-to-one match, but you can also get they had incentives built in where if you a case of beer for for I think a $50 contribution or more, beer steins, and basically said so long as you so long as the a tangible item that's being received by the contributor fits within the parameters of the one-third rule, that you can both get a charitable match, a full one-to-one charitable match, plus get a tangible benefit on top of that. So in a way, we already have gone beyond, I think, a strict one-to-one. And I just don't see a principle that governs why going beyond a one-to-one all of a sudden we've gone beyond the threshold of voluntariness. I mean, in our regulations, voluntariness is not defined by whether or not the SSF proposes, I mean, basically provides the equivalent of an indecent proposal. The inducement is just too tempting that I can't resist the lure of tempting, because you're giving me something in return that's just too much. I mean, we have the one-third rule, but here, where the IRS has already said this isn't compensation, and our own regs say that voluntariness means so long as contributions or expenditures are not secured by physical force, job discrimination, financial reprisal, or dues required as a condition of membership any labor organization, or as a condition of employment. I mean, I can think of a lot of situations where, I mean, solicitations by SSFs, by PACs, that's what they do in order to get contributions. And if the new standard is, well, it's compromising the voluntariness, then I'm not sure how you define that principle either. I'm not sure where the limit is there. In fact, I think that that's a less of a limited principle than the tangible benefit principle that's been enunciated in our previous advisory opinions. I mean, if someone is a huge U2 fan, and when they come to FedEx Field next September, and I'm sure I can almost guarantee there will be fundraising events associated with that, if I were a huge U2 fan, I've never seen them, and I would die to go see that concert, and the only way I can get it, because it's all sold out, is if I were to make a contribution to a congressman or congresswoman whose agenda I completely despise. But you know what? As between giving a contribution to someone who I hate, whose ideas I just despise, and seeing this band who I wanted to see my whole life, would that inducement of having the fundraising event at that concert compromise my voluntariness? And you know, it seems like if that becomes our new principle, then we. You know, what's voluntary to one person may not be voluntary to another. It just seems like we're entering into a much more murky situation than, whereas at least in the current standard, we can determine whether or not there's been some sort of a tangible benefit given. We can see if there's been any bonuses. Was there was there some sort of expense counts given? I think bonuses are the ones that are specifically spelled out in our regulations. At least that's something that's objective that we can look at. Whereas voluntariness, again, it seems like it's a shifting standard depending on who the individual is and just how tempting the inducement made by the solicitation, how tempting that is. So I have concerns about that approach, and that's why I think that the approach laid out in the draft is the correct one.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I very much appreciate my colleagues and was entertained by my colleagues' comments. I remember the Anheuser-Busch AO fondly, and I think that most of us thought that, okay, a one-to-one match plus a case of beer, well, yes, it was a little bit over the one-to-one level, but it was kind of de minimis. And if you're Anheuser-Busch and you're giving out a case of beer, it's not costing you a whole lot. I think we viewed that actually with some amusement as much as anything else. And you know, it's kind of hard to tell a beer company they can't give beer to their employees. But I do think that offering a two-to-one charity match really is—it's not de minimis. It's not—it really does fall into a different category, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, unlike your U2 concert example, it does involve the use of corporate resources. And we have had for over 100 years a ban on the use of corporate resources, the direct use of corporate resources in campaigns, and it's been allowed in limited circumstances for corporations to use their resources to solicit and administer their PACs, but again, there have always been limits on it, and I think this one, for me, goes too far. But I very much appreciate your comments nonetheless, and I don't mean to impugn the requester in any way. I do think that I'm reluctant to put it this way because it will sound like I'm impugning the requester, and that's not my intent. But when you're offering a $4,000 charity contribution in exchange for a $2,000 political contribution, it does sort of smack of buying off the contributor, even though they don't get to put the money directly in their own pocket. So I just can't get there.
Further comment, Commissioner Barley. Excuse me, Commissioner Hunter.
You've got to stop doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to associate myself with the comments of the Vice Chairman, and I agree. I will vote to support the Council's office draft in this case for many of the same reasons that my colleague spelled out. In this case, the contributors to the ICE PAC will not receive any tangible benefit, and I think that's the test. And as Commissioner Weintraub points out, there have been instances where the Commission has limited the amount of tangible benefits, i.e. the raffle program. And one could argue that the case of beer is a tangible benefit more so than matching a charitable contribution 2-to-1. Because the charitable contribution benefit is, in my view, not even close to being tangible. The person's not getting any kind of tax deduction or any other kind of financial tax or tangible benefit from the corporations giving additional money to charities. And I think it's an excellent vehicle to give more money to charities that people care about. And if that provides an incentive and it's perfectly permissible under the line of AOs, then I support it. I think, again, as spelled out in the Council's office draft, as long as there's no tangible benefit to the employee, then it's perfectly permissible.
Commissioner Weintraub.
All right, one last, and then I'll stop. I think that 2 points. One is, I mean, speaking as someone who does have family members that are afflicted by diseases, if somebody offered to ask me if I could choose between a case of beer for me or a $2,000 donation to a charity trying to find the cures to those diseases, there is no question in my mind which I would rather have. And in fact, I and many others like me, when we raise funds for charities, routinely refuse the little tchotchkes that the charities offer. You know, you can get sweatshirts and gym bags and all sorts of things if you raise money at a certain level, but a lot of people say, don't give me that. I would rather that you use the money for the charity. I'm not in it for the sweatshirt or the case of beer. So I think we've tied it to tangible benefits in the past, but there are benefits that are not tangible that are really important to people that would provide even a stronger incentive. And I had another point, but now I've forgotten it. So I won't click.
Any further comment? Mr. Hunt.
And I appreciate your comments and understand your passion for some of the charities, and we all have similar, you know, interest in different charities. But I think the point is that the regulations and the law don't track it in the same way you do, I think, is what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make. And the test is whether or not there's a tangible benefit. And if we start looking into what the intangible benefits are for any kind of contribution, I mean, we'd be here for the rest of our lives trying to figure that out. I mean, I've given money before to political candidates because I liked the person who was hosting the event, and I didn't care at all about the person who was running for office. So there's all kinds of different reasons that people give donations, and I think it's quite dangerous if we start getting into those.
Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. I plan on supporting the draft, and I agree with the comments of the Vice Chair and Commissioner Hunter. It seems to me that the Commission's already gone down the road of saying that 1-to-1 is not the high water mark for this sort of thing, and although some may say a case of beer is de minimis, some would say it's not. And I'm not so sure House or Senate ethics would think a case of beer is de minimis, so looking to other areas of law, I think that those sorts of things, particularly the things in that AO, are significant enough that I don't think 1-to-1 is some magic rule, which makes me wonder if we don't come up with an answer here today, are we undercutting previous advisory opinions? We can't do that. The statute says once we issue them that folks can rely on them, and not only the requester, but anyone who essentially does the same thing. And I hope we're not doing that or second-guessing the premise of those AOs. Which brings me to my next point. AOs are issued to specific requesters. They're not rulemakings. They're not new rules. I always like to try to think I'm answering the question that's being asked, and the question is being asked by a PAC that was formed last year that's raised just over $50,000, and they're asking about a 2-to-1 match where the money's going to go to charity. They're not asking about a 10-to-1 or some hypothetical match. They're not asking about all sorts of things. They're asking about their particular PAC on their particular facts, and based upon that, I'm happy to say yes, because I don't see an analytical difference between the past AOs and what they're asking for here today. If there's a way to cabin this in, I think we're happy to try to reach some sort of middle ground. I think there could be a case where it's just too much of a match because it is some sort of inducement that does cross the line of already established law or whatnot, but I don't think that happens in this case. I think a yes to this requester is well within what the commission has already done, ultimately the money does go to charity, and we can sort of in our own mind realize there is an implicit cap on this for two reasons. One, there's a limit to the money that an individual can give to the PAC, so even if you do a multiplier, 1-to-1, 2-to-1, or even 3-to-1, you know that there's a finite amount of money the corporation can then spend per contribution. Two, there's also the law of the market. At some point, the company's going to run out of money, right? I mean, they can't have a 10-to-1 probably if everyone in the company would give. You could imagine that they would owe charities money if they got too carried away. So I think there is a rather natural restraint on how much they could do this. As far as the inducement and whatnot, I also enjoyed the vice chair's comments about the U2 concert, because there are a number of other examples where folks give money because, well, you know, they want to go to some dinner or they want to go to a concert or some sort of event. They want to hobnob with people they've seen on C-SPAN 3, you know, all the movers and shakers of the Beltway community, all the big names that, unless you watch C-SPAN 3, you wouldn't know who half these folks are, but you're willing to pay money to go get a picture with them. And, you know, that's, to me, for some folks, a much bigger incentive than a charitable contribution, and I hope we're not going to get in the way of that sort of thing, because, you know, the rubber chicken circuit is really sacrosanct to some, and some really enjoy the slightly warm salmon and all the other niceties of dinners and whatnot, but to me they're the same sort of thing, and in the scale of activities that cause me pause versus not, I would rather have money go to charity. So ultimately, I'm going to support the draft, and if there's any sort of middle ground or any sort of way that we could get these folks some sort of answer that's closer to a yes, I think we're happy to work to find that, but happy to support the draft as is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weintraub.
Sorry. I just want to make clear that I'm not proposing to retract or supersede in any way the previous AOs, some of which I voted for. I'm comfortable with the one-for-one match. As I said, I don't think it presents the same set of incentives. I think that if corporations want to contribute to charity, that's great, and they're certainly free to match their employees' charitable contributions at any rate that they want, and that's none of our business. It's only our business when they get involved in using it as a form of incentive for political donations. I don't know that anybody's interested in having dinner with someone who's only been on C-SPAN 3. I think you got to get at least on C-SPAN 1 or 2 before you're enough of an incentive for that. But
you would be surprised.
I guess I would be. Speaking as someone who's been on C-SPAN 3, you know, it doesn't take that much to get there. I also want to emphasize that all of those kinds of incentives, the U2 concert and the rubber chickens and warm salmon and
slightly warm salmon and
dinner with people on C-SPAN 3, none of them involve corporate resources. And that's really why this one is different for me. And I really am done now.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Since the concern seems to be that there's no limiting principle, you know, if you were to go to 2-to-1, could it be 5-to-1 or 10-to-1? Would that be down the road? What if we were to add language, perhaps a footnote that said we're only answering the question that requester is presenting to us in this particular case, and that the commission specifically reserves a right to consider any requests in the future that may go beyond the 2-to-1 to determine whether or not at that whatever proposed point that they that a future requester may give us, we could then determine whether or not that distorts the voluntariness of the contribution. Let me just throw that out there to see if there are any takers.
Let me just add a little bit on that. It doesn't really respond to that, but I think for me, you can look at the monetary thing differently than the slightly warmed salmon or a C-SPAN 3, which I've never been on and don't watch much. So,
yes, you have.
Well, I guess I have. Okay, I'll have to say, well, I can't believe that that resulted in any contributions. But in any event, the theory for me is that it can be looked at in some ways as just using raw corporate funds to subsidize somebody's financial situation. If you take a situation where somebody gives $500 a year to the Red Cross every year, all they have to give any more is $250 as long as they give $250 to the PAC. And that's a financial benefit that comes to them, and that's certainly got to be in the minds of the corporate people who want to subsidize offer an incentive to people to contribute to the PAC. And I think so there is a financial relationship there that makes me uncomfortable to go beyond the position we're in at this point. And I don't mean to eliminate any or narrow the opinions that we've rendered so far on the issue. Mr. Weintraub.
I know I said I was done, but I do want to respond to the Vice Chairman because I appreciate the offer, and his staff reached out to my staff I think at the end of last week with the same offer, and I do appreciate the attempt to compromise and find something that four votes might coalesce around. But it's not just a question of there's no limiting principle. It's that I really do think that once you get beyond a one-to-one match, it really does change the analysis for me. So I appreciate the effort, but sorry, no takers here.
Anything further? I'm in the same position in that regard. I apologize, Mr. Vice Chairman.
I would therefore move that we approve the Council's draft advisory opinion 2009-3 as set forth in agenda document number 09-18.
Any further comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Matter is 3-3. The Vice Chairman, Commissioner Hunter, and Commissioner McGann voted in favor. Myself and Commissioner Bowerly and Commissioner Weintraub voting against. Let's see. I think there's no further matters. Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or administrative matters to discuss?
Not at this time, sir.
Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. We'll resume our closed session shortly.